to Hockey Development Talk. Today I'm in Hull, going to talk to Kingspan Hull Hockey Club. And this evening we have Lee and Zoe who are with me. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Live from Hull. Not very often I go and visit people. Do you just want to introduce yourselves and your roles within the club?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my name's Lee Newsham. I've been at Kingston upon Hull Hockey Club or its various predecessors for 35 years, probably, since I was about 11, 12 years old. I'm currently involved mainly in the junior section coaching, but in the past I've been a player for almost all of the teams. And I'm also involved in our current pitch bid at the KC Stadium as well.
Zoe Lewis, I'm the chair of the junior section. And my role, as I see it, is to make sure the infrastructure is in place to make sure that every child who wants to play hockey can, and also for performance players to make sure that they, the support is there for them so they don't have to move clubs to get that support. So really my job is to make sure that everything's in place to meet those two aims.
Excellent. Right. Well, it's lovely to sit down and chat. I know that we have sat down and chat previously, not live on a podcast, normally just in our own little meeting. So it's really, really interesting from my perspective, not being that far, living that far from Hull over the years, seeing things progress, come back down, go back up. So I think now it's a really good time to sort of go through the story of how we're sort of sitting here really and discussing the rise, and I will call it the rise of Hull because we are back on the up. So do you want to give us a bit of background?
Yeah, it definitely feels that we're back on an upward curve. It's been a bit of a roller coaster anyway since I've been involved at the club, going right back to the Welton Hockey Club days on the men's side. Welton was one of the founding members of the Pound Stretcher National League as it was called then. Going back a long time. I think that was late '80s, 88, 89. Okay. At the time, there was on the men's side anyway, there were two main clubs in Hull or the area. There was Welton and there was Hull YPI. Mm-hmm. I started playing at YPI, and then after a few years, attracted by the higher level hockey, came across to play for Welton. And at that time, I think Welton's third team were in the same league as Hull YPI's first team. So I came across, played in the thirds, then played a season in the seconds. And then I think by that time the first team had been going 4 or 5 years in the National League. One or two players starting to disappear off, probably progressing their own hockey careers. No problems with that because that created a bit of space or a bit of a vacuum for players like me to come through and have a bit of fun in the National League too back in those early days. So that's like the kind of the heady heights that we got to, I think, as a club. And still lots of those players who were involved then are still involved now, which is great to see. Very quickly, going through a potted history, there was then a definite decline in terms of when we dropped out of the Nationals, and then we bumbled about in the North Leagues for 5 or 6 years, and player decline and the rest of it. And then it got to about the year, or millennium year 2000, year 2001, and Hull YPI had seen the same kind of decline in player numbers and the rest of it. Hull City Council had approached the clubs, Hull, or Welton Hockey Club on the men's, Welton Ladies, and Hull YPI, and basically wanted to create a Hull Super Club, effectively, to play hockey at the newly to be built KC Stadium, where they were looking to put two pitches down, a water base and a sand base pitch. And I can remember being sat in an AGM voting basically on whether the club merger should go ahead. Which they did, and then after that there's a bit more of a renaissance, there's been a bit more of a decline, and then we're back in a renaissance again. So it's been a definite roller coaster up and down, but this time it definitely feels different, because this time the renaissance is very much junior hockey led, I would say.
That's great. So how old were you when you played National League?
I was 20 or 21 when I first started playing in the first team.
Excellent.
It probably came later to me than maybe to one or two of the other juniors who started at Welton. I played juniors at Hull YPI and then came across, so maybe took a bit longer for me to break through, and probably took one or two players to move on for me to get that opportunity. But yeah, definitely fond memories of long journeys in the back of minibuses and getting cramp on the way back and the rest of it.
Excellent. And then did you stop playing for a while, or did you?
I only really stopped playing quite recently, really. Had children, two boys, and then I carried on playing even when they were quite young, because we did actually get at one stage after the merger of the clubs, we did for a season, get back into the National League, just on the with the success of that coming together. And then it was only a season. We got promoted and we spent a season there, and then more players left, and just as those historic players got retired and fair play. So yeah, we dropped back out of it again, and then there's a couple, maybe a couple more years. I think I played a couple of years in the twos to try and help strengthen, not blame the interim, but help that team. I always felt if I played first team, and I should definitely just should not leave the club and leave them in the lurch. So really, it was only I was probably away from the club for 5 years in the last 36-37 years that I've been playing. So I came back into it about 4 or 5 years ago. I started coming back to the club again.
And then just before we move on to Zoe, actually, this year, I think, I'm sure it's this year, that when we spoke via social media, and there was a picture of your son leaving here.
That front door. Yeah, you'll recognise the picture now, from the front door. Yeah.
So he's leaving outside for his first game without you, really.
Absolutely, yeah. So my son had his first senior game in our men's fourth team, and basically it was an away match, and he was basically packed up and said, off you go. 13 years old, you can look after yourself now and go and enjoy yourself. Yeah, really mixed emotions. I think I can't remember what I put exactly on the tweet that I put out, but it was
it was a strong message. I remember reading it, and I actually had a chat to my wife, and I was and I said to her, there's gonna be one day when this probably happens to us with Charlie, because he's and Poppy, because they're both they love hockey to bits. Hopefully they stay in the sport, if not, whatever. Yeah, but there's going to be an experience which we go through of them going off to a competition somewhere and we're saying bye. And I felt it. I felt that sort of emotion there of like, this is kind of it, isn't it?
It's when you do something, well, even just doing this podcast and looking back, and you realise just how long ago it was that I was at that stage. But it doesn't seem that long ago. And, and when I was seeing him with his like hockey bag over his shoulder, you remember what it was like for yourself. My overriding thought was the journey that he's just starting for him.
Yeah,
whereas for me, he's kind of it's very much at the other end of the spectrum. But to see him just about to start on all of the great stuff that's in store in terms of junior hockey, but senior hockey, university, maybe getting into wherever he ends up in around the country, getting into clubs. I'm very much a firm believer that hockey, if you can play hockey, you'll always have a social circle of friends wherever you end up, wherever you, and that's what I say, you go to university, hockey is definitely one of those sports where you've got an instant circle of friends, an instant social circle wherever you end up in the country. So
I completely agree, and that will be a tweet that doesn't leave. It was just something where I just remember seeing it and thinking, wow, that was pretty powerful for me to see that.
Thank you.
No, we're fine. Zoe, when did you sort of join? When did this all become real for you and you become...
Well, my daughter joined the club about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. She played with Lee's, Lee's kids, actually.
Under 10 boys.
She played under 10 boys, And then she's a gymnast as well, I did the gymnastics and my husband did the hockey, I wasn't really that much involved, other than I was very aware of the culture, because they have a very strong, you know, everybody plays and it's not win at all costs, it's very inclusive, so that came across even though I wasn't, you know, very heavily involved in it. And then I got ambushed about a year ago and I got invited to a meeting that was supposed to be about paying by direct debit. They wanted my thoughts on paying fees by direct debit, and then I kind of went to this meeting and they said, can you be the chair? So it kind of went from there, and you know, if you're gonna do something, then do it properly, I don't think I knew what I was letting myself in for, but it's it's there's a lot to it, but it's obviously very
rewarding.
Yeah, sure.
And your husband's actually involved. I've met him a couple of times now on different workshops.
Again, he, because, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about, we were very short on coaches.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, bringing the coaching courses to a hall with you and Lee, and it was, right, let's get as many parents, juniors, whatever, onto these coaching courses, and... Yeah, you know, we were at the stage where let's just get a body on a pitch with some kids. So you know, where last year.
For me, Lee's tweet stands out in my mind when I think about Hull. But then another thing is, it's Dave. Is it Dave? It is Dave, isn't it? Yeah. I will just He just brings a smile to my face every time. He's obviously new to the sport.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's a proper parent in the fact of he's come in, doesn't know a lot about hockey, but my God, he is willing to put body and line, everything on the line for trying to develop himself so he can understand how he can help the children. And I imagine he can be a very good coach.
Yeah.
The way he is with the children, the way he is, a little bubbly character, brilliant. He was an absolute pleasure to have on both workshops which I've delivered. Again, just things like that, I think that just shows how good position the club's in. That for me leaves a, would I want to leave my children here and let them have a good time in hockey? Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how, in my role, that's how I look. You know, do I want to bring my children here? And if not, what would I want the club to do to change for me to feel like I can leave my children here? I would have no doubt that this would be a great place to for my kids to have a good time in a session.
I think it's probably a misconception that all coaches have to have been ex-players or players at a certain level or that kind of thing. And the way, obviously, England hockey coaches now, it's not about that. It's about the players coaching themselves or teaching themselves through the game.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you've got someone who's able to set up different scenarios, then you don't have to have had a hockey background at all. And
does
Dave's,
help.
Obviously it helps, yeah. But Dave's definitely...
definitely not
an example of what you can do without any knowledge at all, but then very quickly throwing yourself into it very much at the deep end. But
and it's making it fun, isn't it? The kids want to have a good time.
They want to
enjoy going to training. Yeah.
And they want to. Children will come back because A, they've learned something, but B, because they've had a good time, and probably C, because they've got good friends and they've enjoyed it. So it's about building.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and the club's there, and Dave's as well. On a couple of his sessions, he said, "Would you mind just coming in and doing them?" Teaching the girls one thing or the other, and you go in and you help them, and then once you've shown them it, then they're off and they can be left to their own devices again.
Absolutely. I suppose now it's a really good time to move from sort of the background to current status. I'll probably start the status bit off with going a bit statty, usual geeky relationship manager self that I am. I think perspective 2010, pre-2012, we were sort of 200-ish affiliates. 2012, London, the spike happened, we're up to 250, roughly. Then we had a little bit of a decline, went down to less than 200 around 2014, 15. And then I've gradually worked my way back up, 210, 216, 247 to 311 this year, plus your school links this year, which are growing and expanding, which is, status-wise, that just shows you that the club has gradually been building that infrastructure over time. I think what the stats showed us previously was that there was a spike, but then there was a mass drop, and then a spike, and then a mass drop again, and it went down and down and down. But this time we've kind of, like you said, it feels different.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely looks different.
Yeah.
The infrastructure's being gradually built. So I think it'd be really good to have that discussion about sort of what we've done, what we've achieved within the current situation that we're in.
You work on numbers. I tend to work on numbers of teams.
Because
you think, well, exactly. And 14-15, I know when I just had a quick look back, that was definitely probably the low point or the turning point, whichever way you want to look at it. On the men's side of things, this was in a period where I wasn't playing, the 5 years I wasn't playing. I maybe stopped 2 or 3 years before this happened, but we were currently at 4 teams on the men's side, struggling to get out 4 teams. The first team were playing in the North Leagues. I can't remember which one, either the North, the second or the North First Division. And it was clear they needed to drop another team because they weren't doing particularly well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the older players were making noises about leaving the club, and it was clear they were going to struggle to get those 4 teams out, so they needed to drop a team. And then the decision or the discussion came whether to drop the 4th team or the 1st team. And I think Harrogate had done it a few years before, dropped the 1st team. I did speak to Jerome, actually, our men's chair, just to see if that came into the discussion, and it didn't, apparently. They just decided that actually dropping the 1st team would be a better thing. Let's get some enjoyment back in the club.
Yeah.
Let's get some consolidation. Let's get some games. And so they decided to drop the 1st team. So going from the North League, and then effectively playing as the second team, we're in Yorkshire Division 2 in the next season. And I think what seemed to have happened was as soon as they did that, a few of these players who were going to leave suddenly decided not to, just because it became a bit more enjoyable again, the fun got back into the hockey. There was less arguing, less complaining about whether people are training, not training, all that kind of thing. And the men's team then basically, I mean, as you'd expect, having the players that they had got back-to-back promotions up to the Yorkshire Prem division. And that, I guess, that then kind of coincided with the junior club getting a bit more organised on the with parents of or ex-players with children becoming of junior age, starting with an ex-playing mate of mine, John Moe. His son was probably the first in a line of four or five parents with children coming through who were happy to come and help with the juniors and help coach a team. And it kind of felt each year as well, we all kind of had a year in consecutive. It wasn't by design, it was just really by fluke.
Yeah.
But that helped just build a little bit of momentum in the juniors because those people are also helping coach all of the club, not just the boys, but the girls as well. We have a regular Saturday session, which I'm sure Zoe will come on to and chat about. But it just helped get some consistency suddenly. Which then has built to recently, and I'm sure we'll go into it in a bit more detail, but then when we suddenly went from three teams to adding a development team two seasons ago, that was really successful. So we added a fourth team plus a development team, and then next season we're adding a fifth team plus a development team. So in the space of three seasons, we've gone from three men's teams to six men's teams.
Yeah.
And that's just purely been, or largely been junior-led in terms of the development and the progress. But what that's created is lots more players in the club. Lots of players coming back into the club, suddenly seeing the success, which we've been really good at promoting. Yeah, a bit of a buzz. And social media's been great at demonstrating that and showing people what's going on at the club.
Mm.
And people want to buy back into that, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I think, one, obviously we spoke a lot about the men there, but also the women as well. The stuff, the bit of background I did before chatting, was the women have, it grew, it shrank, and then it started to grow again, and they've become a bit more stabilised in the north. And then the lower teams have stabilised themselves around what they're doing, and that's probably a little bit of junior development as well. We have to praise Yorkshire in the fact that they do allow us to have development leagues.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great. The Yorkshire Youth League's very well run.
Yep.
So we are lucky in some respects here. You know, we think about other areas where they struggle for that. Certainly people I've talked to outside of the region, you know, development leagues, the youth leagues nowhere near as run as well as what it is up here, which is fantastic. That's definitely helped.
I'll say that's been fundamental in to how we've managed to grow the men's section again, is having that development team and having that development league to give us the confidence to throw some players in there who we weren't quite sure whether they're going to be up to it or not. And the first year, to be fair, they were more than up for it, and really we probably that year should have added another men's team rather than a development team. And we were just getting to know what the development league was all about. So then the last year when we ran it was a lot different than it was the first year. We've got a lot of younger players in there now, 10, 11, 12 year olds playing in that development league. And it's a really good route into men's hockey, just to give them a chance just to see it. And I think on the ladies' side, I think it'd probably be fair to say maybe they're seeing what's going on the men's side and maybe just a year behind us and thinking, that's worse, let's try that. And then so last season Zoe will can talk about.
Yeah, so the girls' side is nowhere near as well developed as the men's side. The men's have helped out on the Saturday, and that's where your younger girl players are. So we've had a nice chunk coming up, and then it kind of has fallen away once you get to under 14s, under 16s.
Yeah.
And the ladies have not had a development team recently. They did in the past, and then that fell away.
Mm-hmm.
And then this season it's been brought in again.
Yeah.
So they are mirroring what's happening, the men's. But where we've been with the girls' side this season, we didn't have that same dad's playing hockey on the girls' side. This time last year, we were down to one team on the girls' side.
Yeah.
We had one coach
who
was specifically for the girls.
Yeah.
So we really didn't, you know, was really kind of at the low point where girls are concerned. The boys had this great infrastructure in, and their issues are more around getting more boys in.
Mm-hmm.
But we needed teams, coaches,
everything
really. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've got all that, we've put all that in place, and now like Lee said, on the juniors has fed in then now the ladies feel confident that they can put, so they're putting a fifth team in and a development team this season for the next season, because they can be confident that there's a lot of junior players now ready to fill those gaps.
It's like six and six, isn't it?
So across the board, it's a good four, five teams added in three seasons.
Absolutely. Wow. That's good news. I might capture that bit and send it in. I think that's really good. That's really that's you know, in itself. I know later on we'll talk about successes, but that's a success for me. Huge.
Oh,
you've overcome some barriers along the way, which we can go through. But wow, that's.
And that's without you're talking about all the increase in the junior teams.
That's just the senior teams.
And the links obviously help. I mean, my big thing is, well, I saw the club struggling and losing teams, and I would have been heartbroken if the club had disappeared, like properly heartbroken, because it's done a lot for me over the years. And so conversely, to see it coming back again and in the strength that it is, it's rewarding. And I think that's. Yeah, it's definitely becoming a bit building momentum, but it's recognising. Yeah. I think what we've been quite good at over the last few years is recognising that there's been a momentum building, and trying to capitalise on that and trying to take the opportunities that have come along. And I mean, myself and Zoe are just sort of the latest in a line of a few people
Absolutely.
In the seasons before us who have done that thing, like the development team. Was a parent called Kev who first had the idea of putting that development team in, and thank God that he did, because it's been. A fantastic thing for the last two seasons for us and other players, ex-players or people along the way. It's not just been one or two people, it's been a concerted effort by certainly a nucleus of people, but that nucleus is getting bigger each season as people buy into it and the senior teams want to get involved with what's going on in the juniors.
I think it's fab. Junior-wise, status, well, I didn't really mention it in here, but from looking earlier, at one point you were less than 50 juniors, and juniors being under 18s, you know, now this year you've been what, you know, 150, 170, 180, something like that. You're around, I can't exactly remember the figure. So I mean, just for me, I suppose it's a little bit like on this current state, how's that happened? I mean,
so like I say, this time last year we had on the boys' side we had under 16, under 14, under 12 teams, and on the girls' side we finished last season with 212 teams and not a lot else.
Right.
Officially, there was under 14s, under 16s, but they couldn't get a team together, so they plummeted down the division.
Yeah.
So, as I say, my first goal was to get people playing hockey.
Yeah.
There was two boys at under 10 who wanted to play.
Yeah.
We had under 16, we had no coach, but we had three girls who'd been with the club all along who wanted to play hockey.
Yeah.
So it was like, right, okay, we need to put on a team for them.
Yeah.
We've got no coach. No manager, no nothing. And I was like, we'll put the team on. If I have to go myself and do it, which I did at the beginning, then we'll put it on. We'll fill it with under 14s.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, when we first, this time last year, we didn't know we were going to get an under 14 team because we had seven girls coming out of under 12s moving up. All of our under 14s and a chunk of our under 16s that we had left had moved clubs.
Yeah.
So this time last year it was like, are we even going to have 11 under 14 girls?
Yeah.
So we put on additional Sunday training with Dave.
Yeah.
He's watched a lot of YouTube videos, went to our coaching courses, and we put on to try and build some team spirit, try and get some people in before the season started to try and have a team.
Yeah.
And that worked really, really well.
I remember last summer there was like an advert, wasn't there? Like a... If you are aged between
taster session,
taster session.
Yeah, there was for the younger. Yeah, that was for the younger ones.
Oh,
but
okay.
it brings in all different.
Yeah,
all different ages, and then we also had, so that worked well to get us. That managed to get us an under 14.
Okay.
An under 14 team.
Yeah.
We had no coach for under 12s,
okay.
So I browbeat two parents to run that team. So we managed to put that in.
Yeah.
Under 10 girls, because we were looking on the Saturdays, we've got the men, so we could put that team in. And again, one of the friends of Kingston, if you like, one of the umpires she looks after, she would look after that team.
Right.
As I say, on the under 10 boys, that's when those leaflets were going out and that social media to try and get them in. And we just started off with a mixed team.
We definitely recognised that we had maybe three boys who were coming regularly to a Saturday who were desperate to play, probably desperate to play. And you want to keep them in the game, and I mean, you can see they will disappear unless you can produce or facilitate some competitive hockey for them, and that's what that taster flying was about. We were trying to get more boys in. It actually ended up we probably got more girls than boys, which was fine. But what we then, but it did almost become a situation of if you put the team on,
you build it, they will come. That's my fear.
And so we said, let's just put the team in, let's just see, and we'll try and fill it. And it has been difficult. I know Nicola, who ran on the under boys side,
she had a great job, a difficult job.
Play dropouts, all that kind of stuff that you have to deal with.
And their little boys didn't want to play with the little girls.
You know,
my daughter loved playing with the boys, but
we
got to by the end of the season.
Yeah,
it was like 10 boys. Because they brought their
Nell friends come in and players come during the season. And you've already got somewhere for them to play. And towards the end of the season, some of the photos you see of them just enjoying the hockey and whatever else. And what we've tried to do, I guess, over this last year, more so, we have done it in previous years as well, is do whatever it takes to try and get players into the club, because we may come on to links with schools and whatever else, but there's so few schools doing hockey these days, certainly in this area, that it's very. But once kids try it, they love it, and so it's just giving them those opportunities or trying to get them down. And by and large, we have very few who will come once and then not come again. Might be the odd one or two, but very few. Normally, when they come, then hopefully we're producing a fun environment and they enjoy it and they stick it. But again, they only stick it if we keep putting
it. Yeah, and apart from the girls, what I find is that when they get to about 14. One of the key things is trying to retain. One of our key goals was to try and retain the girls around that age group, because I'm sure it's the same in all clubs. You've got girls that play at school, so they're very good, and then girls that might want to try hockey at 14, and they can't play in the same level. You know, you can't come in and play for 6 months and be at the same level as someone who's played at school for
X amount of years.
So again, there was three of those girls came from one of the local schools, and they came down every Saturday, didn't they? For like a couple of years, but they were too scared to play in a tournament with that team. So we partway through the season, we got to the point where we had a lot of people coming down. I had under 12s complaining because there wasn't a county, there wasn't any county for under 12s at that point. So I was like, right, okay, let's put on a second under 14 team then. And we will, we'll let those, we'll start at the bottom. We can put some stretch on for those under 12s, a little bit of extra for them. Those girls that are scared to play higher up the league, that it's a nice starter for them, get them playing. And then we were just getting so many girls down that in the A team, we had 15 going down anyway. So my plan was, okay, they can move down, they get full match, everybody's happy. That was, and so, in terms of my aim of every child who wants to play hockey plays hockey, there were people, there were girls on a pitch with a hockey stick playing in a match. Unfortunately, we didn't have a coach. So, it was a parent running the team who knew nothing about hockey, and, it's like, thank you very much. Somebody's put their hand up and has gone down. It would have been much better if there was a coach there. But we put a, They got on the pitch.
The big goal for us now, is basically to support the players that we've got coming down, just to make sure everyone is getting a rich experience of hockey. And one of the things we would like to do is for a coach to go down with each team that's playing in the Yorkshire Youth Hockey League, because it does give them a different experience than if it's just a parent
chucking
them on the pitch and letting them play.
And
it's better for them and it's better for the club as well.
And that's
from where you were to where you are. What a journey that is in itself. I think that's amazing.
I think Judith, our chair, who's been in hockey forever and won the Lifetime Achievement Award from England Hockey, I think she said it was the first time we'd ever put in a team at every age group for both sexes. So that was
it was definitely a landmark moment. It was
recent underrates. Never satisfied.
That's where Hockey Heroes is hopefully going to come in, and we can do it. I just think, Lev, we just summarise before I want to ask a few questions. Summarise some key points that you've said there for me that tick box marketing.
Yeah.
So you went out, you marketed the club in a positive way to offer something. It wasn't just come and join us. There was a specific day where you were going to do taster sessions. Didn't matter who you were, where you were, what you were doing, but you did that. I think that was really good. I think that's definitely obviously helped, and you've said
these things, it's difficult to measure the success of those things because it isn't instant either. It is just like a constant drip.
So
we might not have had, I don't think that particular session we had like massive numbers come down. There might have only been a few. But it all just builds momentum, I think. And I think that's what we've had to realise is it's don't get disheartened if you try and put something on and it doesn't work. It's just part of a bigger process.
Okay. The second one was parental engagement. You said straight away that you've had to engage with parents, and it was had to because you needed some help.
Yeah.
But actually just engaging them, it was a way that people have just gone, okay, yeah, I'm happy to help. And I think that's where some clubs go, we need help, but we don't really, we put an advert out for a coach or something like that. Yeah. Or actually you've gone, I'm just going to go and say to the parents here, we want to put a team in here, can you help? And I think
absolutely. That
was that's a defining moment really for a club that's just gone, we just need some help. And then we've thought about number three, which was, how can we make it more engaging for the kids? Well, we need a workshop. And to be fair to the junior section and Lee, it was, Gary, we need a workshop. We've looked at it. We've sort of tried to figure out how we can get to 10 to be minimum numbers. And then we've linked to other local clubs, Driffield, and tried to offer it to Grimsby and other clubs that are in the area to come and do. And we've done a couple of workshops. I think that was... Yeah. Again, just a nice way of looking at it. So for three points there, for me, is really key for other clubs to sort of look at.
We talked a lot about retention of children, but it's about retaining coaches that are coming in to help us, or ex-players that are helping out as coaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do think those workshops are fantastic in terms of just giving ex-players that want to be coaches, that want to help out, or even parents who want to help out, just the skills to or the confidence to realise that it's not that difficult to put on very good sessions or very enjoyable sessions. You just need a few tools. And then once, if you've played hockey particularly, and you've got those few tools to go at it, then I think that's definitely helped engage those coaches as well to become wants to stay involved with the club next season rather than just coming in and helping out because we've dragged them along. They've got a more richer experience out of it as well.
Which is good, and that's good to hear. Really, that's good.
I think for me, the number one thing that I did, the very first thing that I did was. Because we were so short of coaches as well, is number one, look after your coaches.
Yeah.
Look after your coaches that you've got. So we put parent managers, because Lee will just do everything.
Yeah.
It's like, no, otherwise you're completely, it's not fair and it's too much. So we put parent managers with all the teams.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like the first thing. So we, who will look after
it seems
this
really,
team?
It does seem really daft, but it's just a parent to... basically check availability and then just send out the fixture. But it's amazing just what that one little thing, what pressure that releases in terms of just one extra thing that you don't have to think about if you're coaching. You can just think about planning your session on a weekday night or on Saturday or whatever else. It's just one less thing you need to be
that's
where the skills. You've got the parents almost embarrassed. I don't really think I'm helping. You think, no, honestly,
you
are.
Trust me,
you
are. Which is great. Okay, so a couple of things from me there is, we've overcome a lot. We've overcome a fair bit. So I think a couple of challenges that we've mentioned would have been the dropping in teams, the lack of coaches.
Yes.
So also obviously players leaving, higher end players leaving. We haven't really talked about it, but the... obviously at the beginning the three different clubs having to merge it can go really well at the start, but then some of that may have affected over time with the ladies, the men and another club and all that sort of coming in. And
there's definitely still sort of disagreements between the sections without a doubt that's still the case. But every year I think we are getting a little bit more as a whole club.
The intention is definitely there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got to be a step.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So what do you think has been the biggest challenge that you've overcome? We haven't even brought in facilities, by the way. But that's obviously over time, that's been a challenge, with the KC.
Exactly. I mean, that is, I'm sure we will come on to that, but everything we're talking about, we've done despite having no regular access to a pitch, or we're never quite sure if it's going to be available or not. We've got no clubhouse ourselves next to a pitch. We've got a facility we can use in Hull Indoor Sports Centre. Have been great for us, but it's not near the pitch, it's distant. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly been a big challenge, having to doing everything we've talked about, but without the comfort or the reassurance of knowing that we've got or yeah. without access to a pitch.
Mm.
And yeah, the point, I guess, rolling on from that is what we could achieve if we had that.
Yeah.
That's the
yeah.
next thing, and mm. I know we're working with England Hockey in relation to that, and hopefully we're making some good progress.
So what do you think then has been the biggest challenge that you've overcome as a club? Because we've got coaches, we've got teams, we've got the player decrease and then up and down, the facilities. Which one do you reckon it is?
Well, I think the coaches has been the biggest issue, because I think in the past it's been, well, we can't put a team in because we haven't got a coach.
Right.
And you know, certainly from man as a parent
mm-hmm.
View, if you're going down and there's no coach,
mm.
last year, you know, it, people do their best,
mm.
but if you don't have,
mm-hmm.
it's much better if you have a coach attached
mm-hmm.
that's there when you go to training, and
mm-hmm.
That's for me has been the biggest
issue.
Yeah, definitely, yeah,
and
I think yeah, and we're getting more organised in relation to what, like our Saturday morning, which is what,
yeah.
what we call our club
yeah.
session, which is where all new players will come and
yeah.
whatever else we've,
yeah.
we've got. We're trying to have at least three qualified coaches down there for that session, so we can split the session up into age groups. And I do think that's certainly the foundation of what we do in the juniors, and that's
mm-hmm.
where that's where I think future development will come.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of the biggest challenges overcome, and it was an easy one in the end to overcome for me, was just the linking up between the junior section and the senior sections.
Yeah.
And particularly seeing it on the men's side, and we're now starting to see that filter through onto the ladies' side as well. I mean, I can remember as a player not really even knowing we had a junior section. I mean, it will have been there, and the only time you'd ever come into contact with it is when suddenly like a young player would appear in the first team and start running around with rings around him, and you're like, you're trying to catch him. But I was never asked as a player, I don't remember, maybe I was, but to help out with juniors or anything like that. Or was aware when they were training, or even how many we had, what level they were playing at, what teams they were playing in. I would hope that all of our senior players know about our
yeah.
junior
yes.
section and exactly what's going on and the success
Thank
that
you.
We're having, because
yeah.
we're very good at ramming it down people's throats,
yeah.
really,
yeah.
social media wise, but also on
yeah.
our internal group, WhatsApp chats,
yeah.
WhatsApp chats, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We've just done an appeal, haven't we? Because we're putting in place a new coaching framework, because
okay.
we want every team to have a coach
okay.
and every team to have a coach to go down with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of put a new framework together.
Brilliant.
And so we've appealed to our players.
Well,
to
yeah,
parents, to players, to anybody
yeah.
who was willing to get involved, and external
yeah.
university and whatever
yeah.
as well, to try and get
okay.
to try and
yeah.
get something for everybody.
Yeah, that sounds great. So there's some key barriers overcome. Successes, I think a couple of things I've taken from this, from successes so far, I'm sure we'll probably talk about a bit more, but the increase back in teams again, obviously the increase
yeah.
in numbers, the more engagement that you've got with your membership, coaches, the development of parents, the engagement with parents, there's been some key successes there. Anything else? Anything that really stands out for you as key successes?
I think I'd like to kind of say the team spirit
mm-hmm.
as well, because again, like I say, I'm new to the club,
yeah.
but there's a very, you don't need to be told it, there's a very strong vibe
yeah.
that it's about inclusivity.
Okay.
And you know, I'm very much of the view that, you know, yeah, you respect your coaches, you all play together as a team,
mm-hmm.
no one player is bigger than the team,
mm-hmm.
and if you if that's the kind of person that you are, we're not the right club for you. And I think what we've seen this season is, I think, why we've been so successful with the teams as well, because the teams have been successful, have been promotions after
yeah.
promotions. I think
mm-hmm.
we've nearly everybody's in division, has moved, started at the bottom, has
mm-hmm.
moved up to division two. And there's a lot of team spirit within the teams,
mm-hmm.
But also with the parents, because
mm-hmm.
that is so important. It's
yeah.
so important that you build team spirit with the parents, not
yeah.
just with the kids, because then they come down. You know, with some of our teams, you don't just want to have one parent taking the child. Both parents
mm-hmm.
want to come because they want to be part of all of that. And
take
I think
the
picnic,
that's take the deck chair,
yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Unless
yeah.
you go to GSAL where it's just always rains, doesn't
yeah.
it? And there's no facilities whatsoever. But yeah, it's all.
Okay.
I think that's it. Yeah, we are trying to develop a certain feeling at the club
culture,
in terms
yeah.
of engagement and in terms of making sure people are playing for fun. Yeah, we definitely want to push those players who are
yeah.
capable of being pushed, and we'd
mm-hmm.
like to see more players from Hull push along the England hockey pathway, and I'm sure we'll see that coming through. But equally, again, talking about just hockey as a sport, it's a sport for everybody. You can be fantastic at it, or you can just come and play as a social player and get just as exactly the same, if not more, out of the sport than you can if you're playing at the highest possible level nationally, whatever national honours, or you're just playing in a social team, travelling away and whatever else. And we're trying to develop that right from a really young age. I certainly did that with the boys' development team, and I'm sure the girls will do that with their team as well. Really pushing the, with the development leagues, there's quite a lot of cancellations where teams won't travel to you for whatever reason, or it becomes difficult. For us, we love the away games. We're taking the boys there, and to see them all after a game in the bar having tea, whatever it might be, or wherever you might be, but
some
just
variations,
just to see them around the table, just enjoying. But recognizing what hockey's about, it's not just about going to Wheatwood on a Sunday once every month like it is in the Yorkshire Youth Hockey League. But it's when you get older, it's just about having fun with your mates. The car journey will make them all share cars and all that kind of stuff. So, in terms of successes, hopefully the biggest lasting one will be a core of or a new generation of hockey players, in the same way that I was part of a generation of hockey players that seemed, and there were certainly some worries that I might be the last generation of those hockey players, but those they're coming back again, and I think England hockey or hockey in this country are recognising that there's a wave again. Obviously things like the Olympics and all that kind of stuff have helped that, but clubs are certainly recognising it. I don't think we're the only club to see growth in numbers. I think lots of clubs across the north are. It's just recognising it, capitalising on it, and trying to do your best for those kids to keep them in the sport.
Yeah, it's definitely Yorkshire's. And I'm sorry, we've seen a good. It's 2.5 years of working with the 66 clubs here in Yorkshire. We've seen a huge increase in participation across various levels. It's not just juniors. It's not just through adult game, but in this past season there was just over 8% increase again, so we've got over 10,000 people to participate in Yorkshire Hunger for the first time, and that's a big step, and that's a huge contribution to what the clubs have done. When you look at it, when I first started you go from 210 to 216, so you'd gone six people additional in the year, then we went 247 to 311 this year, but 311 plus your club school links, which again not spoken about, but that's getting stronger.
These growths are without really at the moment tapping into schools, which is something that we obviously want to try and do next season going forward with like the Hockey Heroes and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully we'll be able to really sort of tap into another age group coming through again, just to make sure that it's not just a blip or a one-off that we've had a success this year in our juniors. We want that to be self-sustaining now. We want to keep feeding those kids in at the bottom of our system.
Had been 18 months ago when we were talking, you probably would go, I'm not sure if it's the right time to do that. But I think now, I've got no hesitation.
It's exactly the right time.
This is definitely another good time to go a bit younger and tap in, and hopefully we can keep going and driving that. So that kind of leads into the future, I suppose. What's the future hold?
I think, like you say, there's the Hockey Heroes. So there's the under eights where we really don't have, you have one or two.
Yeah, we've kind of at the moment, that Saturday morning session, we've probably limited it to 7 years and over, just because of coaching manpower, really. Younger than that, it does take a lot more looking after. And so we haven't really. If we had younger ones, then it would take too much resource away from the others, and it would harm that session as a whole.
But I think as we, we've got this coaching framework, so has that beds in next year, then we'll have more.
We've already seen.
We've only really kicked it off about a week, and you could already see there was more availability, more people whose hands were up to do the Saturday training. Hopefully that will build. I think one of the key things for the future, which we're all really keen on, is the sustainability. Lee's kind of moving up to under 14s because his son's getting up there, and we need to keep making sure as we're bringing these kids in, tapping into their parents, getting them through the coaching courses, whatever it is, bringing them into the club, making them part of the family, so that that mantle gets passed on as well, and then obviously we try to Keepley and, and John and all the other guys that that is keeping them, making them feel valued, so they realise how important they are to all the kids and the club.
I think there's an assumption as well that once your child is no longer playing juniors, that, that as a parent that you've had enough. But I honestly don't think that'll be the case, because when you start coaching kids, you just realise actually in itself it's rewarding. Coaching your own children is actually the hardest thing about it. It's a lot easier when they are playing, to be honest. I have a much better relationship with the team that I'm coaching. And just on in terms of other successes, the one thing I would certainly mention is we've obviously got a good history in terms of good players that have played for us in the past, and with the development team, that's given an opportunity where we've been scrambling for players to help be one of the parent or one of the adult players in that team, and I've called in some favours of some ex-players, but they've come in and played in that. Loved it, absolutely loved it. It's a proper game of hockey, really competitive. You're not expecting it to be as competitive as it is. If anything, you work harder as an adult player because you want your kids to do well and you don't want to let them down. But then they've come into the coaching side of it just through because they've enjoyed it, and they haven't got any children there. They've just started helping out with the coaching because they've been on your workshops.
Dave
Dewhurst was one of them. And we've got another one involved sort of latterly after that session happened, who started to come down and help. And Kev Stampower, one of our GB players, he's been down helping our indoor boys get ready for one or two tournaments, and he's come back in.
Just sitting here now, and it's what an inspiration to those kids to have.
You hope so, but see, you're walking on with big beer bellies and whatever else. You're all like trying to explain, this lad used to play for GB, and they're like, really? Are you sure? It's like, and until he takes a penalty flicker of the goalkeeper, and then, right, maybe,
I think that he's never going to, knowing him, just having a chat with him when we did the workshops and stuff, but he's not going to throw that down the children's neck of, I'm so and so, but somebody in the club like yourself are going to go, do you realise who that guy is?
Yeah.
I think that's lovely.
I feel like I have to tell them because
it's definitely one.
Because if I was a kid playing it, I would hope I'd be inspired by that. And we want the kids to know a bit about the history, not because we're nostalgic, which we are, don't get me wrong. But equally, want them to, for the future, I'd like to see Hull again be pushing into the national leagues, both the men's and on the ladies' side. There's absolutely no reason why we can't. A city the size of Hull should have a hockey club that does it justice, and I think that's what we can definitely do when we get things like the pitch sorted and all those kind of bits extra. Yeah. It just gives us the confidence to have that next big push on.
Yeah.
But I think with sort of Zoe's coming in on the juniors and has helped get that side of it organised, and the men's section, the ladies section are all getting a lot more organised, and as a club overall, between all the sections, we're getting a lot more organised.
Yeah.
We're definitely in a lot better place to push on again.
Yeah.
And I think we're all kind of just sat here waiting for that to happen. Really.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So look, going just come into this, the future. We mentioned coaching framework for this year. It's been involved about a week. We've talked about sustainability.
Yeah.
Facilities.
Yeah.
We're going to see some. Hopefully, we're going to see some facility development with KC. New CEO in post, hopefully sorting out the pitch situation there, hopefully get fencing around that's
a bit more secure
and stuff like that. But then anything else with regards to facilities or
it's taken up a lot of time to get where we are, and the club's pushed it as far as we can, and we are now very much reliant on us and England Hockey very much reliant on the other people to hopefully see what we want to happen come through, and it's just a case of just keeping the pressure on and trying to keep that momentum on, because what we don't want is for someone else's lack of activity to affect our affect the club's ability to keep doing what we're doing. To an extent, we've kind of grown on the assumption that something will happen, because we're now at a stage where it needs to happen. Otherwise, it's all going to suddenly all the gains we've got. I would hope to see those go down the pan.
I think relationships there have been built as well.
Absolutely,
so the club, the council, the FA working with us. I think that's great, and I think that's a big thing for any other club as well that's in a situation where you don't own your own facility. Building those relationships has been key. It's been massive.
And Jamie, England facilities, England Hockey. Yeah. When he came in as well, he's been great because he's really taken a lot of that on board in terms of helping the club in building those relationships and just taking it on to that next that next level where it just gets that bit closer again, really, and now we've all got a very clear idea what needs to happen next.
Okay. Anything else for the future? We've got facilities, sustainability, coaching framework. Was there anything else that we...
Really, for me, it's getting more involved with the county. It's about raising the quality of the hockey in the whole area. And that's
hockey.
How all of our, our players get better. You know, we want to raise the standard of the whole region.
Which is, you know, well, I think we can say it on here as well, where it's doesn't have age groups for, was it, 16, 17?
So 16's they don't. So they currently have...
12, 13, 14.
And 15. So
and then anyone that's in that, they can go and trial or go do the assessments of other centres. So a couple of club members here, haven't we, that you've got in post that are now helping out with the Humber a bit more. And hopefully that's going to...
change. So that's been... That's gone under new management, if you like, this last season. So it's very much been a bit rebuilding season. But
It's definitely... looking... a lot better, you can feel it, and other people have constantly spoken to me and said you can, you know, it's looking a lot better in the Humber County.
And the idea is to get
To keep building
To get children playing. It's clear, I mean, it's clear at the moment Humber hockey is in general, and you're coming up against North Yorkshire and what about these other counties that have been a lot more, a lot longer established, a lot further along that road, but we need to try and catch them up really and get our region to that same area, so people aren't feeling they have to go to other clubs to get a better quality of hockey. Because to be fair, that quality is here, and the coaching quality is here. You're not going to get it any better anywhere else. But you're having to get in your car and drive like 45 minutes, 50 minutes up the M62, and we want those players on parents to realise you don't need to do that, because everything you're looking for and more is right on your doorstep.
That's one of my biggest things. You don't need to go anywhere else. Got it here.
And they, you know, and once they get to that stretch, and it's not here, so it might be like the higher level somewhere at the moment, then I know from the discussions it would have been, that's fine. But hopefully you can then start to, you start to build your teams up now, and now it's gradually hopefully going
to
build those teams up.
You want them to be older
to,
before they have to.
A bit older. Or hopefully not.
Probably
all depends on jobs
men's.
And everything else. So, and I think that's where you've really started to build the foundations. For me, I can see it. You've gradually, you've built the numbers at the bottom end, but then you've gradually started to increase the quality. You've increased the fun. The fun's sort of developed so that, I suppose, with adults, it's not fun, it's enjoyment. Yeah. It's probably a different word to use, same sort of meaning, but they need to enjoy it to want to be here. So you've got, you've driven that back up. That's kind of raised performances. Everyone's willing to work together.
Yes.
Now we just need to find the structure, which you've started to put together, and is me using my hands on a podcast, so no one else will be able to see it. So
yeah,
I think that's really, really, really useful. So look, that's, we said 40-ish minutes we wanted to get to, we've got to 50, 52.
Sorry.
That's good. No, don't be sorry.
Sorry,
that's
everybody.
Great. We've covered loads, you know, from where you were, the bit of background, the status, the development, the challenges, the successes, the future. We'll definitely revisit, and I think we'll revisit, you know, soon.
It's definitely a work in progress.
Yeah,
it'd be good to see
yeah,
a year or two
where
we've got
where
to.
So just thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.